Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolution.org Hardcore 2.0 is coming your way. This is episode 150. Today we're talking about using steroids while overweight journey by Europharma. So in this one, we're going to talk about a guy who posted on the forum a lengthy thread talking about his real situation where he used steroids to better himself, even while being overweight, and he had some ups and downs. So we're going to kind of go over this. We're going to debate the pros and cons of trying such a thing and explain what happened to this individual. And if you click on the thread, you can actually go and read it. It's called Using Steroids While Overweight, My Journey. And you can go on evolutionary.org forums and put that in and it'll pull up. And the guy who posted it, his name is V-I-O-L-E-M-I. So they're... you can go on there and give your opinion on the situation as well. And if you actually went through the similar thing, let's kind of go over some of the things he did. And we're going to basically go topic by topic based on what he said. So he says, he starts out, he says, quote, "I know my opinion will probably be unpopular, but let me tell you what happened to me and how steroids changed my life for the better." So look, on the surface, this is a great thing. And a lot of times, we want to see people change their lives. And there's a lot of different things over the years that I've seen with people. I've seen people go from skinny as a rail to jacked. I've seen people go from overweight to ripped. I've seen people conquer their addictions to certain things. And they use training in the gym to let out all their anger. They've been through stuff in life. Maybe they have some, you know, they have to balance their mind. A lot of people have mental illnesses. There's all kinds of mental illnesses out there. We're very complex in our brains. And a lot of us need to go to the gym and we need to balance ourselves. Example, I have a very stressful job. I work in finance for many years. It's a very stressful job. I made the decision to get into it because I'm really, really good at math. I'm a math nerd. So what else, what other thing would I get into? If you're a math nerd, of course you're going to get into finance. But the problem is I have a very stressful job. So one of the things I noticed when after college was the only way I could balance myself was to work out. And when I worked out, I felt balanced. When I didn't work out, I felt really horrible. Like if I go 2 weeks without working out, dealing with such a stressful job, I would go crazy. So a lot of people out there go mentally or physically crazy if they don't work out. And we see it all the time on the forums. Some of these guys that we see on the forums, they admit, yeah, I have mental issues. They admit, like, I have aggression issues. I've had a history of problems. I've been in and out of prison, whatever. And they use the steroids and they use the training to balance themselves out. And then they use the steroids on top of it to really get good at their trait. So if this is your hobby, just like, if you're into any type of hobby out there, it could be horses, the people that spend all this money go to the horse farm and they ride horses and the horses jump over the little thing. They want to get good at that, or they want to go get good at golf, or they want to go good at it could be anything. It could be skateboarding. Okay. You want to get better at something. Well, with bodybuilding, steroids, and specifically Europharma steroids help you get better at it. But the question is, did he really need steroids to help his life get better? Or is it more he needed to get balanced and start training consistently to get better? So that's what the debate's all about. Mobster, what do you think about this quote?
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably get into this deeper on another show, especially a follow-up to this one, Steve. But I don't think he should use steroids while he was seriously overweight. However, The line specifically, which Steve's really delved into, and how steroids changed my life for the better, I would argue it's the whole thing, the diet, the lifestyle, the approach that he took to life before versus the life that he has now, the approach he takes now. So yeah, absolutely, Steve. This, if you are addictive, as Steve said, if you are overweight, if you are stressed, and you grab life by the balls and you say, I'm not going to let that shit happen anymore, and training, working out, eating right, and using steroids is a part of that, as a part of that, is a way for you to gain control, then your life should be better because you will feel less stressed. You won't be suffering with the issues of addiction. You will see that you are transforming in front of the mirror. I would literally change the word steroids and say fitness lifestyle, including steroids. Don't you let's not focus on specifically the word steroids, because in and of themselves, that's bullshit. You can't just take steroids and that's it. There are multiple aspects to this. So if we include those aspects, then yes, I would agree that he has changed his life for the better. And given the rest of the thread, given the rest of the posts on that thread, we can see that that's true. So yeah, in and of itself, the way it is worded is not entirely accurate. But obviously he's coming from that particular place. So, we'll give it to him in the way that he meant rather than the exact words that he used. Thank you, Steve.
So next one kind of ties into it. He says, quote, I've always been a large dude my whole life and always carried excess fat. So there's a couple factors in play. There's some European studies, generational European studies that have come out over the past 5 or 10 years. And thank goodness that they have done it, because their motivation for doing it was to help humanity. It wasn't for profit. So that's what separates a lot of times US policy from European policy. European policy tends to be more about helping humanity. US policy is about money. So a study like this that studied generations of people in genetics to see if there was a link to obesity with genetics. And one of the things what was fascinating that we see from these European studies, Mobster, is that they studied twins that were separated at birth, and we would see skinny gene twins go to fat families, or fat gene twin go to skinny families. So what they noticed was in these situations, there was a margin where the genetics of that person, even if they went to a family full of overweight people, if they had skinny genetics, they stayed skinnier than the family they went to, right, being raised with that lifestyle. And it was the opposite for the twins that were overweight and had overweight genetics. So basically, I'll put it this way. Let's say you have two fat genes, twins being born. You put one with a skinny family, you put one with a fat family. Well, the fat gene twin that went to the fat family would get fatter. The skinny gene twin that went from the skinny family would still get fat, but not as fat. So basically, my point is, nobody genetically, this is the point of the study, nobody genetically is born to be 30% body fat. But there are certain people who are born to be more predisposed to gaining body fat, if that makes sense. So really, at the end of the day, we do have different genetics for body weight, but it's not as pronounced
No.
as we're seeing. So in other words, every American, it seems, if you go in the Midwest or the South, every middle-aged man and women, pretty much, who's in their 50s has a gut. Now, if we go back in history, go back 3 generations, I bet you their ancestors were all skinny. Not a single one had a gut.
We know
But
they
then
are, Steve. We know they are. This is the problem with this argument, and I'll deal with it in two ways. One, as you've just said, we literally said this on another show. There was a photograph. It makes does the rounds on social media. It is a boardwalk adjacent to a beach. And I believe the photograph claims to have been taken in the 50s, 50, 56, something like that. And the line above the image, above the meme, whatever you want to call it, says, please find me a fat person in this photograph. And so if the genetic thing is true, then genetics would have had to have changed in the last 75 years. And the reality of that situation is there are some very tiny examples of genetic changes. This is specific, I believe, to the gut, which where there might be an issue in terms of the poor quality of food affecting the microbiome in the stomach, if I'm digesting, and because we're eating that shit all the time, we're more predisposed to fat. And again, that's in the last 75, 80 years. And the other one is the other argument. Sorry, when small means of adaptation vis-a-vis we our eyes have slightly adapted, not genetically changed, slightly adapted to the fact that we look at small digital screens like phones and tablets and iPads and the like. But in terms of fat genes, unless it's connected to the microbiome that I just pointed out, it's bollocks, right? And I say it's bollocks as an opinion because, again, go back 75 years to the 50s to the Depression, has humanity's genetics changed that much? I can't see that it has. It was a simple fact that we had less food, so we got less fat. It's as simple as that. We have more access to food, bad food, but food in general from all over the world in a way that we've never had before. And we reward ourselves more with food than we've ever done before. So to me, there might be a small scientific argument, as we just discussed, to say, okay, the genetics for fat is bigger than it has been in previously. Maybe, maybe. Again, Europe versus the US, accessibility to quality food versus accessibility to poor food, and so on. However, as written, it's an excuse. And it was an excuse for how he looked up to that point. Was he a fat baby? Was he a fat child? Was he a fat teenager? Was he a fat young man? Was he a fat older man? He says, I've always been a large dude. Well, you was born 200 pounds, 6 foot tall. Shut the fuck up. You was born a child and then you grew up. So you wasn't a large dude all your life. So that's a lie. And then it becomes an excuse, literally my generation, Steve, and I'm talking about in my teens when we used to do the whole thing of chasing after girls on CB radio, which lasted all of 5 minutes for what we called an eyeball. And every so often you'd go to one of these eyeballs to meet the girls, and one of them would be big. And the whole big boned 40 genetics thing was made, it was bullshit. They were eating too much shit. Most of it is nurture, it's not nature. So, but the reality of the situation is, in spite of that, in spite of this line, in spite of the excuse that's inherent in this line, he has turned his life around. He has decided that if he says, I was a large dude all my life and always carried excess fat, he decided enough was enough. He got fucking better. He got into better shape. So that's actually arguable against the genetic thing, because if he had fat genes, how has he succeeded? How has he got into better shape? How has he managed to lose all this weight? So he's actually presenting a false argument for his behavior before. It's an excuse for what he was doing before. That's my opinion, because he is now in better shape. He is now leaner than he was before. So if he was always a big dude, he was always this, it was always that, it was always genetics, how the fuck did he get into better shape? So he can't, don't use the excuse you had before, and yet at the same time, actually prove that that's all it was, an excuse, because look at you now, motherfucker. You are so much better than you was before. He has 100% improved, Steve. So hey, on to the next one.
Yeah, and let me just finish this out by saying this, very, very important. When I work with clients who are trying to lose weight, who are desperate to lose weight, I always want to know their history, because here's the thing, body memory is a real thing. So if you grew up fat, ever since you remember, you were the kid in school they bullied for being fat, you were fat in elementary school, you're fat in middle school, you're fat in high school, and then you become an adult, it's going to be harder to lose weight because of the body
Yes.
memory. But if you were
Yes.
skinny your whole life, then like after college, you started putting on the pounds because you got lazy, you got a job, and you started getting more comfortable, with the way things were, and you stopped exercising, you started eating bad, then you want to turn it around a couple of years later, it's gonna be a hell of a lot easier. So body memory is a real thing. So I always want to know my clients. I'm like, look.
Let me just finish that one as well, Steve. One of the things I've said when people have been overweight or skinny, either approach, either wanting to add muscle or wanting to lose fat, I do exactly what Steve said. I just take a slightly different approach in the terminology, Steve. I say, if you were fat or skinny for 20 years, you will not transform in 6 months. It will take a long time. It will take a couple of years. And there's a whole thing of good habits for a long period of time. There's a whole thing of which you and I have addressed before, changing the percentage of muscle fiber type, reduction of the fat cells. As a good example, someone who's 50 pounds overweight loses 45 pounds of fat. The next 6 months to a year are super, super important because we don't want them sliding back into bad habits and so on. And I'll also finish on that particular thought process as well, Steve, is get them into the thought process of lifestyle versus diet. I don't want any client, yours or mine, doing the diet thing in their head as far as they diet to lose weight and then they stop the diet and go back to their old habits. It's possibly a case of getting new habits, keeping those habits and having them become habits, because you can't literally undo 30 years of being overweight or 30 years of being skinny and have it become a permanent thing that you're leaner or more muscular without putting in a good long period of time. I would probably say something like 2 years just to sort of fix that thing that was such a long time fixed before in place, so to speak. So on to the next one. I'll read the next one out, Steve. Even though I lifted weights a few times a week and was eating, I was eating really bad, pretty much over 5,000 calories a day, and whatever I felt like eating, I would down a whole pizza, no problem. And my favorite was extra cheese. So we see this sometimes, and I'm sure Steve will agree with me. There's an element of, and I might have been guilty of this myself from time to time. I describe myself as a meat sandwich, Steve. Beef down below, beef upstairs, ice cream in the middle, which powers the power belly that Steve mentioned earlier on. You see photographs of my legs are muscular. You see photographs of me from behind on broad-backed, shaved gorilla, was someone described me the other day. And then you see the belly and you see the ice cream, all right? So there's an excuse sometimes, probably more as a strength athlete than a bodybuilder. If I train my ass off, if I work out really hard in the gym, if I do lots of cardio, I can eat what the fuck I like. But the reality is that Steve and I have done two shows on this to the best of my memory, including one recently. That's pretty much if it fits your macros, Steve. The issue here is even if it fits your macros worked, he was doing 5,000 calories a day. People imagine, Steve, that I have 5,000 calories a day. I think I hit maybe 4,000 at 320, 330 pounds. Some days it's less. I don't have a quote unquote physically active lifestyle apart from the gym and the daily steps. I'm not doing 20,000 steps a day. I'm not manually working like some of our listeners are. So, yeah, I think the issue here is really, Steve, that you cannot do it if it fits your macro thing. You cannot train, you can't use steroids, and then do what this listener was doing. You can't do that, Steve. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Pretty much sums up the majority of the American diet. Just eat what I want, when I want. If I want something, I just pull up an app. If I want lobster, I can pull up an app and order lobster. If I want steak, I can pull up an app and have steak. Literally have them cook it and bring it to my house.
Please, let me do this one from the children's point of view, all right? So I'm a father and a grandfather, and I'm relatively strict, I would say, in certain particular ways. And maybe that comes from the training and the bodybuilding, weightlifting lifestyle. So as an older person, I see this kind of thing, and it's one of those little tiny things that annoys older people like me. You're in a supermarket, the supermarkets put certain foods at the right height for children in the trolleys, the baskets that are being pushed around the supermarket by their parents. Parents will give them food, snacks, while they're in the supermarket surrounded by food to keep them quiet while they're shopping. They will give them food or snacks, sweets, confectionery in the car so that they're quiet during the journey. And then they will say that I love my children and I would kill for my children. I would protect my children with my life. But you literally just give them crap and you're wondering why your child is slightly overweight. So there's an this becomes adult behavior. Adult behavior. I have literally done this myself. If I do this thing in the gym, which is an absolutely epic lift, I will have this thing as a treat. But that's not me all the time, Steve. The reality is people somehow manage it, whether it's with medication, whether it's with plastic surgery, liposuction, whatever, or just not giving a fuck and rewarding himself with food. I work really hard. I work hard for my family. Therefore, I can eat crap. As Steve said, when it comes to the American family, the huge amount, 4 or 5 times a week, getting takeouts. Dad's mum have been working, kids have been at school. We're all tired when we get home. Let's get some food delivered, or we will go to a restaurant. What you're not doing, which is the things that you're supposed to do versus what you want to do. What you're supposed to do is scratch cook healthy food, healthy options, because if you love your children, if you love your wife, if you love your partner, you want them to be healthy. You want them to last forever. You want them to be in good condition. But what we do is reward ourselves with certain things. And one of those things we reward ourselves is food. And we literally don't restrict ourselves. Now, that's fine in some perverse kind of way if you have a metabolism of a greyhound or hamster or a mouse or something. You're constantly burning calories. You're always in
Yeah.
shape. But when you're out of shape, not so much. Yeah, go on, Steve.
But even in that case, this is the thing we have to understand, in that people out there don't get this. In bodybuilding, it's all about what's on the outside without giving any regard what's on the inside. We have guys on the forum, very few that are like this too. They say, I eat what I want. I eat all this junk, and look at me, I look fantastic. Well, you look fantastic on the outside. But on the inside, what's going on? Because every time you eat something, you're cells change in your body, your DNA changes in your body, things happen. So when you're eating pizza and with extra cheese, which is all fake, pizza is just completely fake. The bread is fake, the cheese is fake, the sauce is fake, it's just fake food. The toppings are fake. You add pepperoni to it, guess what? That pepperoni is fake. It's shipped in frozen, they cut it
Yeah,
up and they put it on there. It's probably
100%.
even shipped in already cut. It's just all
100%.
processed shit. So when that goes into your body, what does it do? I can just say right off the bat, it puts pressure on your organs, and it clogs up your arteries in the process. So even these guys, you'll see them, you're like, oh my God, these bodybuilders, they look fantastic. They're ripped, they got low body fat, they're muscular, they're strong. But then your arteries are like 90% clogged, where they're very close to getting a heart attack. And the body can't withstand this on top of you using steroids. This is why people who use steroids and who are eating bad, they shorten their lives even faster than others, or
Steve,
people who eat too
we
much
had
food.
one, sorry to interrupt. We had one this week where every person, yourself included, it was the worst creatinine levels we'd ever seen on a blood test on anybody on the forum ever. And we literally said, you need to fix that right away. And I believe today, one of the threads I responded to this morning was a level of bad cholesterol that was probably at the very, very high end of being close to off the charts in one particular individual. Now, that's not common. Both of those are not common. Both of those are kind of rare. So I don't want to be too scary. But yeah, look, I'll just use as an example the pizza thing again, Steve. I can buy economy pizzas in Asda, our version of Walmart. And most of the supermarkets do something like that. And then the premium stuff has the real pepperoni, the real proper cheese, and so on and so forth. God, guys, if you want a healthy option, make it yourself. Steve did one on the forums just the other day. It's not that difficult. In fact, it's really nice when you make it yourself. And it will be real cheese and real pepperoni
Yeah,
and real tomato paste. I mean, come on.
you don't have some guy in some pizza place with a neck tattoo who hasn't washed his hands in a week, flipping the dough up in the air and catching it, and it landing on the table, and it landing on his wrists and his elbows, and it's all touching him. And you know what I'm saying? Some guy touching your food, it's disgusting. So why do we put disgusting things in our body? It doesn't taste good. Like Mobster said, the homemade pizza that I make with almond flour crust and good quality ingredients, it tastes a lot better.
Oh,
And when
please,
you don't feel like shit afterward. You know when you eat fast food, you feel like shit because you're putting shit into your body, and the oils start sticking to things in your body, and you get a stomach ache, and your body just feels like you have no energy. Have you ever tried working out after eating a whole pizza like this guy with extra cheese?
yeah. God,
Try working
no,
out.
I can imagine, man.
You wouldn't be able to. So
Yeah,
it's really about good. Good, and it's one of the things about training too that people don't realize. These guys who have this method of thinking is that your training will be so much better. You'll get better
Yes,
results in the process
absolutely. Yes,
because you'll have good energy when you work out.
quicker
You won't.
results, quicker gains, Steve, quicker fat losses, healthier skin. We get people on the forums. It's not that common again, thank goodness, with issues with acne and oily hair, and so on and so forth. And Just as an example, we've had this come up as a topic on the forums. People that are not keen on eating vegetables, and that seems to be becoming a real big modern thing. It's not because of vegetarian or vegan issues or any kind of thing like that. It's literally they've been allowed to eat shit, and I don't like the green stuff, mummy, and I don't like the yellow stuff, mummy. So they haven't done it. And I've literally just working with a client recently had them introduce, even if it's putting the vegetables into the rice, a way of them eating vegetables, and they're already starting to see the improvements. Let me read the next one, Steve. I got my blood work done and I had low testosterone at 25 years old. I'll get to the 25 thing in a minute. Decided enough was enough and start to self-prescribe myself TRT at 250 milligrams a week. I then set a goal to bulk up more, so I went from 260 pounds to 280 pounds. I'm a little bit confused by this one, Steve. Number one is low testosterone at 25 years of age. That's possibly because of his obesity. Self-prescribing themselves TRT at 250 milligrams a week is the higher end, right at the higher end, it has to be said, of self-prescribing TRT. It's very quickly 90 to 120 milligrams seems to be the average by clinics, myself included. Most self-prescribed TRT is circa 200 milligrams. Very, very few. I think less than 5% of clinics have had to administer by prescription the 250 to 300 milligrams. And that's in a very small percentage of individuals. And then here's a thing I can't get my head around slightly, Steve. He says about being obese, he talks about being fat, he talks about his bad diet, and then sets a goal to bulk up some more. So I went from 260 to 280 pounds. What's your thoughts on this one, Steve? Because it feels a little bit like if we were talking to him, if we were addressing, and we have done on the thread, of course, we probably get this a little bit better sorted out than his own approach.
I think the mistake people make is in their early to mid 20s, they start getting their testosterone levels checked and they start freaking out. Oh my God, my testosterone levels are not where they should be, what the chart says they should be, or what the range
Because
says they should.
because he's overweight, because he's out of condition. If he changed those two things, his levels would be improved.
And I think what happens is that a lot of times it's that, but it's also your body, you know. Your testosterone levels can fluctuate a lot, and your body hasn't fully developed yet. So, worrying about where your testosterone levels are sometimes does the worst damage than everything, you know? So, stressing yourself out does the most damage.
Yeah.
So,
Sorry, could I just address that again, Steve? Look, this is to be clear on this particular thing, and we might have to do this on another show as a topic in and of itself. It isn't the level itself. There is a range. Steve can address the range. You can be at the bottom end of the range, the middle end of the range, or the upper end of the range. If you're below the bottom end of the range, I suspect there are issues. And if you're above the upper end of the range, you are considered especially fortunate, but arguably also there might be issues. It isn't the level in and of itself, although that is a way of measuring what's going on. It's how the fuck you feel and how the fuck you react. If you've got zero libido issues, zero erectile dysfunction issues, if you feel great, if you feel alpha and your levels are 300, 400, then what's the fucking problem? It doesn't matter what the number is if you feel great, if your libido is great, and so on. If, however, that same number as a measure makes you feel like dog shit, makes you feel like you can't recover in the gym, makes you feel like you're struggling at work and in life, and so on and so forth, then how you feel at that level is more important than the level in and of itself. There are a bunch of other markers. We don't, when we go for blood tests, Steve, and we just touched on that slightly earlier on. There are certain things that we look out for as people that use performance enhancing drugs, as people that train. But we very, very rarely focus on one of those measures. We look at multiple measures. And it's precisely why the doctor would give you a blood test, because they are looking for more than one red flag, more than one bad marker, more than one thing out of range. And that enables them to identify if you have a particularly physical ailment or illness, and so on and so forth. So focusing on specifically the testosterone level is a way, but it's not the only way. So I would ask again, do you feel great? You've got libido issues, erectile dysfunction issues. Are you out there grabbing life by the bollocks? Then who cares what level you've got, because it doesn't matter in that way. If, however, you feel like shit and it's 300, let's see what we can do to boost your testosterone. And again, he would have had a better level, because we're getting to the whole estrogen and water issues and the way that you feel eating certain foods, like Steve said earlier on. And if you just change those things, or you got leaner, you've got dropped loads of fat, you started eating healthier, even if your level of testosterone stayed at the same level, I guarantee you'd feel better. But what I would probably suspect, and I think Steve would agree with this, is your testosterone levels would improve. And you should feel better with the improved levels because you're healthier, because you're lighter on your feet, and so on. So on that, Steve, as well.
All right, so we'll talk about that more on a future episode. Let's move on to the next one. It says, quote, unfortunately, it was about 6 weeks into a blast where I was doing trend plus lots of tests that I blew out my pec. He's talking about his chest muscle, pectoral muscle. And he says he herniated a disc in my back, which is wow. If you know that you herniated a disc in your back, that means that you herniated multiple discs in your back. Because a lot of times you won't even know if you herniated a disc in your back unless you get an MRI done. And he says, I had to have surgery. So that's a major, major injury to herniate a disc in your back and have to have surgery. Monster, that is a major injury because I've herniated discs in my back. I have multiple herniations in my back from lifting heavy weights in my 30s. And if you, Mobster, were to go get an MRI done, they would find herniated discs. Any bodybuilder.
I've talked about on his show, Steve, that 16-week period in 2016 when I was literally 17, 18 hours a day laying on the floor and so on and so forth. So I've had back issues, but I've never had to have surgery. So this is, and of course, he blew out his pec as well. So he has kind of really, really rolled the dice here big time and lost.
Yeah, I'll let you talk about this, but look, I've seen this a million times, and I've seen this with clients too who don't want to listen to me, and they'll go on a bunch of gear when they're not conditioned to go on gear. So what happens is when you don't have the conditioning to be using
Yes.
anabolic steroids and you gain a lot of weight or you gain a lot of strength quickly, what happens is your body will suffer. Your body won't be able to handle it, so things will start breaking. It's the old adage when you watch a football game. And the receiver catches the ball. Two guys go to tackle him. One tackles him up high. One tackles him at his legs. And his knee twists a certain direction. Well, when your knee twists in a certain direction, something's going to happen. So what ends up happening is they blow out their entire knee, their ACL, all their ligaments in their knees are blown out into bits. And then they're out for the year. They got to go have surgery. So what happens is when you're doing. He was doing tren and testosterone. Those are possibly the worst cycle for injuries. I've seen so many people, including me, get different injuries because tren will make you go so much beyond what your body can handle that something is going to happen. And in this case, he was basically overdoing it like crazy. I can tell this guy is probably like a type A personality where he just goes all in and nothing's going to stop him. And then your body is not going to be able to handle it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we used to see pec tears a lot in the 80s and 90s in the magazines, big names. I can think of a couple right now. See, Kevin Leverone was a name. We've seen muscle tears, bicep tear and tricep tear, Dorian Yates, hip injuries, Dorian Yates, and so on and so forth. But what I'm thinking of specifically when it came to the pec tears in the 80s and 90s, Steve, was certain, and we've actually, I think we touched on this when we said that with regards to trend becoming a thing in the 90s and 2000. So here's what happened, and here's what can still happen. And especially in this particular person's example, I suspect what's also happened is he's turned his life around, he's transformed. He's gone from a lazy fat motherfucker eating whatever to someone that wants to go to the gym and get in amazing shape. The steroids have made him feel fantastic. His testosterone levels on steroids are epic. And the 80s and 90s thing was simple. Your ability to, via uptake of nitrogen, protein intake, et cetera, to build muscle is enhanced. There's no argument in that particular regard whatsoever. The softer tissues, the fascia, the tendons, the connective tissues, the sinews, and even some of the tissue around the top of the bones, and so on and so forth, are very much slower to get stronger. Muscles get stronger much, much quicker. Muscle fiber turnover, muscle fiber thickening, And so hyperplasia, all of those wonderful things that we like from bodybuilding are enhanced by PEDs. That's the fucking reason why we use them. But very few steroids, even DECA, that's another topic. The uptake of collagen synthesis are just really not speeding up the process of all of that soft tissue, the stuff that holds the muscle, the membrane around the muscle, and the stuff that holds the muscle and the membrane to the bone. And so what happens is his strength has gone through the roof, his ability to train like a motherfucker has gone through the roof. The alpha type, A type personality that Steve talks about has grown on. I want to go to the gym, I want to smash stuff up. I'm doing amazing, I'm getting great results. Man, he was out of shape for a really, really long time. And your body isn't quite ready. This is why we talk about guys that want to gain 20 pounds. And I'll say, no, 5 pounds, 10 pounds. People that want to lose 80 pounds. Okay, let's start with 20 pounds fat loss. It's annoying and it's kind of boring and it's not sexy, but slow and steady is better. 4 or 5 pounds of tissue, 5, 10, 15 pounds on the bar, this kind of stuff. Guys that want to go from 250-pound bench press to 300-pound bench press, and I tell them that's two or three of the best bench presses on the planet, talked about averaging 15 pounds per year on their bench press, and you want to add 50. Add 15 like them motherfuckers. You won't tear your pec, but you will got the chances of you tearing your pec and getting injured, they're that much higher. So train, as Steve said, and test is going to make him feel like Superman. But yeah, there's probably an accident waiting to happen out there. And this is without getting into normal Joes that have added muscle, and we see this a lot on the forums, where because of the training and some elements of their lifestyle, could be other sports, have ended up with sore knees, sore elbows, sore shoulders, and so on and so forth. And then I think the other thing is as well, Steve, just to finish on this one, we have, and I'm guilty of this, I'm sure Steve has been guilty of this, we sometimes, because we're gung-ho and alpha and shit, carry on doing the same silly thing that we did before with regards to poor form or a particular exercise that hurts us, because we love the results, i.e., the big muscle, being strong, being able to throw the weights around, and not give ourselves time off and not give ourselves chance to recover, and so on. So, for example, Steve, it might have been easy for him, to change from bench press if that's what fucked him to something else. Dumbbells instead of barbells, machine instead of free weights, and so on. And the herniation of a disc, same thing. There's almost an argument to be made in a small way, and I only say that because I've been that person. Where the risk of injury comes with me trying to do world records in the past is that much higher. The risk of injury when you're trying to completely transform your body from someone who was fat and overweight and out of shape into a muscular motherfucker is probably going to be relatively high. So, yeah, it's not sexy, it's not exciting, it doesn't make for a clickbait title, but slow and steady wins the race. 5 pounds of tissue, 5 pounds on the bar, these are all gains, they're all positives. And I would rather see you transform over 12 months than 3 months because it's more capable and so on and so forth. So, yeah, the blast thing as well suggests that he was cruising. So, there's another issue there because he says 6 weeks into a blast. So, he's not detailing the fact that he was probably cruising, which meant he was on all the time. He says TRT, but it was a higher end and so on. So, there's a few little bits and pieces here going on, Steve. But yeah, trying to transform, literally go from a weed into a rose or something like that, from a horse into an elephant or vice versa, is a big deal. And that transformation, if it's done too quickly, might the risk of injuries is kind of high. Have you got any more thoughts on that, Steve, or shall I move on to the next one?
No, let's spend a few minutes on the next two before we get into better Eurapharma options. And this continues, this next one continues, I think, the mode of abuse that this guy has been doing. He says, quote, "After that, I got more smart with steroids and run them 1 gram per week max, using mostly low dose tren, moderate Masteron, and some tests, getting more in shape and getting stronger on a week-to-week basis." Look, it shouldn't have taken you getting these major injuries and needing surgery for you to start getting more smart. And 1 gram a week is plenty. Like, I've never run more than 1 gram a week of injectable steroids, never. And so, this type of cycle, it's still technically abuse. Even when you're using whatever low dose tren means, it could mean 300, 400, 500 milligrams. I have no idea. But look, at the end of the day, it's still abuse. Anytime you use tren at any dose higher than like 150 milligrams a week, even by itself, is still steroid abuse. That's just how it is. So we have to be honest with ourselves and not put our heads in the sand on that, like a lot of bodybuilders do. So look, it'd be better if you laid off the trend. I always tell people, lay off the trend for a little while if you use it, and use other steroids. There's other steroids that would be better for this guy. We're gonna get into that in a bit. When we talk about better Eurofarma options for him and other people who are overweight. But at the end of the day, I get the feeling that perhaps he's running underdose gear where he has to keep running a gram or more a gear, gram or more a gear for him to get satisfied. So maybe that might be the issue. Maybe he's getting poor quality gear. Because if you use Eurofarma, I guarantee you, you'll get a great, you don't need to run a gram of gear on Eurofarma. If you're an average Joe gym rat, you don't need to run even close to a gram of gear to get great results on Eurofarma products. So he needs to slow down. He needs to breathe a little bit before he continues going on. So spend a couple minutes on that, mobster, before we move on to the next one.
There's a huge argument, Steve, and I sometimes, and that's probably more my personality type than anything else. Okay, so you come on to evolutionary guys, and you listen to this show for much the same reason. You're here to learn. You want to take advice from us. You like the way that we talk. You like the advice that we give. And you're in, even if you're not familiar with us, and this is literally the first show you've ever listened to, hopefully, up to this particular point in the show, you've learned something useful. You might even disagree with it. Okay. So the issue here is, and I've talked about this before, there is a greater access to information than there's ever been before. It can be overwhelming. So the argument here is thus. He did not need to learn the hard way via blowing out his pec and herniating his disc. He didn't need to make the mistakes that he's made. I get the impression, Steve, because he talks about low testosterone at 25. He's not that old. And it would say 5, 10 years ago. So let's say he's between 25 and 35, which would be perfect. That's probably a big part of our demographic. You don't need to make these mistakes. You don't need to learn the hard way. You don't need to do all the things that he did in order to come back to what he feels is a sensible cycle. When it comes to PED use, and it's probably more a question of how frequently you're on cycle, the way that your body responds, and so on and so forth. There used to be an adage, which was, if you can't grow in a gram a week, then you can't grow. And doubling and throwing 2 grams and 3 grams and 4 grams of combined testosterones and steroids, and PEDs, etc. It's not going to fix it if your diet's not good, if your training's not good. So a gram, I have run, and I've always been someone that blows the trumpet for low PED totals. I have been slightly over a gram the last 2 cycles, and this most recent one, Steve, I'm back on TRT as of this week. For 2 weeks, I took it up to 1.5 grams. Didn't like it. I'll probably stick with 1 gram. I think 1,050 milligrams, fraction over 1 gram, as per my last 2 cycles. That seems to suit me well. And again, I'm a bigger individual myself. So the trend I've used very, very moderately once, never used Masteron. Some tests, as he says here, getting into more shape and getting stronger on a week-to-week basis. Look. There are, and the next topic when we get to it contradicts as well. He makes some contradictions. He says certain things and then kind of almost opposes his own logic, opposes his own opinion in certain particular regards. So, was he smart before? No. What should he have done the trend lots of tests? Absolutely not. Should he have been using high doses of testosterone as TRT and being overweight and getting into shape? No. So there are certain particular things, but he has kind of, with regards to this particular one, Steve, kind of realized he didn't need to take quite the approach that he was doing before. And again, it's annoying in a particular way because he's had to learn some really bad things in terms of the injuries. He's had to probably sort of address certain health issues. He's doing certain things for himself. And again, the information with his podcast, with Evolutionary, with the articles, just via Wikipedia is just out there, and there are unfortunately, some bad shows you can listen to and some kind of gung-ho bullshit approach. Steve's touched on this, where we see teens happily injecting trend on camera and getting traction on YouTube. It is fucking annoying. So there's a little bit too much of that, but there is elements of good information out there. He didn't need to do so many things that he's done. The last bit, Steve, before we talk about things that he could have done and way that he could have done that using neuropharmacies. Anyway, long story short, I don't think you should wait to use steroids to lose weight. I'm going to disagree with that in a minute. I started them when I had no business using them. Point made again. And they've really changed my life. Yes, but we touched on that already. I really look forward to going to the gym. Good. And I don't agree with those who say you shouldn't use steroids until you're truly ready. Why shouldn't a person? And then he puts a question mark at the end. So he's actually asking for an opinion. He's come onto the forum, posted it, and worded it in such a way that he thinks his decision's been a good decision. But the reality is, he's asking us, he's put a question mark at the end, and he's still presenting it as a topic for discussion. In other words, he knows that's not quite true. He's literally proved that it's not true. He's talked about training and eating badly. He's talked about getting injured. He's talked about his high-end TRT amount. He talks about using trend when perhaps he shouldn't have done, literally blowing out a pec and herniating a disc. He can finally get sensible, and then he kind of almost tries to say, oh, but I didn't really make a mistake because I shouldn't have been using. He literally says, I don't think you should wait, and then says, I started using when no business. Which one is it, Steve? Which one is it? He knows the truth. The truth is, and I'll address this properly, is there are just on estrogen and water retention alone. There's no mention of an AI here throughout. We'll second guess that maybe he was. The results he would have got, the progress he would have made, the gains of muscle and strength, etc., he would have made would have been that much better had he waited and simply, Steve, 6 months of a good diet slash lifestyle, like I mentioned earlier on. Let's get away from the diet thought process. And the lifestyle to include regular training while he learns his shit and gets all these habits down pat, beautifully done. Every single day is a good day for training, good day for my diet. I've started to meal prep, I've got stuff in the freezer that's good to go. I'm starting to get in shape. And he drops 30, 40 pounds of fat. He starts to get the beginning of a line of abs. Then, assuming that his time served, and I prefer would have preferred that to be minimum 6 months, but arguably 2 years. Then introduce the PEDs. Less chance of injury, less chance of side effects, and the results are that much better. And that's because being fat, let's not be unkind, being fat, having 40, 50, 60 pounds, 100 pounds of fat on your body is unhealthy. The cholesterol in your system, the poor gut health, the simple fact that it's hard to walk around and you'd need to do cardiovascular effects on your heart and your liver and your organs and so on, and your response to PEDs while you're holding onto 50, 60, 80, 100 pounds of fat. It's just going to be worse. So the obvious, if you lose some of that fat, the majority of the fat, if you get into some kind of shape and then introduce PEDs, it makes sense that it would be that much better. Look, so let's talk about now, Steve, and I'll let you come in for this one. Let's talk about if you are overweight and you are fixing those things, what would we consider the best Eurofiber products you could use to get you into better shape?
So when you're overweight, the main issue to watch out for is estrogen risk. So limiting more estrogenic steroids, that's a smart choice. Also limiting more androgenic steroids is a smart choice. So what this guy was using with Tren, that wasn't smart because your heart health and your kidney health is already under stress. So Tren would be a bad option. So we want to avoid the more estrogenic and the more androgenic steroids. Also keeping your testosterone levels lower makes sense. And that is because we want to keep the estrogen under control. And if you run higher dose testosterone, now you start getting more androgenic as well, and you start stressing on your heart. So look, the top Eurofarma options, if you're overweight, I identified five of them that we're going to talk about: Anavar, Primo, Equipoise, Turonabol, and testosterone. Let's start with Anavar a little bit. And Anavar has been shown to be good for fat loss and hardening, even while you're overweight. And it can also help with strength. So I think for males, a good dose is anywhere from 20 to 50 milligrams a day. And you can use it solo if you want. So if you're a little bit overweight and you're like, well, I want to use something, what can I use that's safe? Anavar for like 6 weeks at this dosage, I think would work good. What do you think, Mobster?
Absolutely, Steve. Lean muscle gains and a small but significant increase, 5 or 10% increase in strength. Again, we would probably question the dosages. So I would actually agree with Steve again, especially if he was overweight. I would prefer to see 5 or 10 pounds of lean muscle tissue shredded with 25, 30 milligrams a day, rather than perhaps straight in at the typical amount that we would normally suggest of 50 milligrams a day for 4 to 8 weeks again. And again, small gains, muscle tissue, you're actually going to burn more calories because you've got added muscle and so on and so forth. So it is going to help. And it's not going to blow him the fuck up. He's not going to get massively strong or huge amounts of muscle tissue. So his risk for injury relatively low, Steve. On to the next one. Primo, right? Now, we see this all the time, and I'll cover this a little bit, Steve. I'll get you to come in with some dosing and cycling suggestions in terms of typical use, and especially in the overweight individual. But when we've talked about Primo on previous shows, including Neurofarmer Primo, we've talked about, I describe it as a keeper, not a builder. So this is a great one if you're trying to lose weight. And the reason we've just, I'm sorry, the way that we describe it on previous shows, when we talked about the golden age of bodybuilding with Arnold Schwarzenegger, etc., in the 70s, was the limited accessibility to forms of testosterone. But Primo specifically was used by people like Arnold because they could retain the hard-earned muscle tissue they'd spent most of the off-season building up. And at the same time, through the 70s kind of diets, etc., try to lose the excess body fat and the excess water to get into shape, but not at the same time lose muscle tissue by the extremes and vagaries of diets because Primo was unable him to hold on to it. As a muscle builder, it probably needs to be run relatively high. It can be expensive for that reason. So I would rather use moderate doses. And again, it's not a massive one for estrogen issues, Steve. So talk about dosing and cycling, especially if the individual is overweight, as an example.
Yeah, and the way Primo was structured was basically they removed the androgenic effects and the estrogenic effects. So it's literally perfect if you're overweight for that reason. So you're not going to get crazy effects when it comes to strength, but it's going to give you an opportunity when you're using it to go into the gym, get in a workout, do some cardio, and it's going to help you turbocharge things and get your metabolism going and help you maintain as much muscle as possible while also giving you the ability to lose body fat. So this is why Primo was especially popular back in the golden age. People loved using Primo leading up into a show for that reason. So good lean muscle mass. Next one, Equipoise. Very similar to Primo, but it is a testosterone derivative. But because the way it's structured, it aromatizes at such a slow rate that people who use Equipoise will actually claim that the Equipoise actually helps them reduce estrogen, which is kind of fascinating. But I don't really think that happens. I think it's pretty much equal. But what happens with Equipoise is it gives you the ability to do more endurance because it doesn't give you the pumps that other DHT derivatives are going to give you. And it allows you to basically do a more cardiocentric cycle. So if you're an overweight person, I would really get on the low impact cardio. You don't want to do high impact cardio when you're overweight. Like you don't want to go run down the street or run down the concrete sidewalk or even run on a treadmill because that's really going to hurt your legs. That's going to hurt your feet, your ankles, your hips, your knees. It's a lot of pressure, to be putting on your body because you're overweight and you're trying to run and you're really hammering your legs. So you want to stick to low impact cardio, yoga, swimming, walking, or light jogging on grass surfaces are low impact cardio options that you can take advantage of. Even bicycling would be a much better low impact cardio option than going and running on a hard surface and screwing up your legs from your excess weight. So Equipoise will give you the ability to do that, and you can run The Eurofarma Equipoise, they have great equipoise. I've heard a lot of good things about their equipoise. I've used their equipoise. 200 to 400 milligrams a week would be all you need of the equipoise.
I'm just thinking, Steve, when it comes to EQ and certainly the next medication we're going to describe, your ability to do that little bit more volume. Now, the whole if I do more reps, I'll lose more weight thing when it comes to weight training is kind of wrong in and of itself. But we're talking about here the less risk of injury because of what he's talked about in when we did the rest of the show earlier on. The higher volume approach, he's not trying to be the world's strongest man, so it's not all about how much weight he can lift. Again, less weight, more volume, useful in this particular example, transform his lifestyle, burning perhaps more calories in the gym, and being able to do that low-level stuff that Steve's described in the extra volume, in the 15 to 20 rep range for certain exercises and so on and so forth. I think kind of works in that particular way. And certainly, when it comes to the overall volume of a workout, I would argue that in this example, EQ would absolutely give particular benefits in that regards. The next one, Steve, absolutely right. The brief history of Turanabol, we've covered this on other shows, but it was specifically developed for those exact kind of reasons. It's not a massive muscle builder in and of itself. It was literally designed to kind of get round the way that some of the Russian and East German and East European athletes were blowing the fuck up to the point where people were just struggling to work out what sex they was. Everybody was big and muscular. What is it, so to speak? That was an issue. And the reality was they had great strength for athletics, whether it was putting a shot, throwing a discus, throwing a javelin, certain of the middle distance, short middle distance type running races. And you lost the giant athletes. The people started to look more like what they were born as, but they maintained with Turanabol the ability to have that athletic ability they'd had them trained for. So Steve and I have talked about this on other shows, and I'll bring Steve in for this as well. When you are used to, as Steve does, running 5 kilometers and going to the gym and doing other things and maintaining a certain level of fitness, certain PEDs will take that away from you. Turanabol is the one that will help you keep that. It will even, to a lesser degree, negate some of the side effects, especially the impacts of tren on your cardiovascular ability. So I'm thinking for someone who's overweight, out of shape, wanting to get into shape with the high volume approach that I previously described, using Turanabol, 20, 30 milligrams a day, Steve, and again, because it's a normal 4 to 8 weeks, and being able to stay, retain some of your cardiovascular ability, and so on and so forth, makes a lot of sense to me. Tell me what you think then, Steve, about using Turanabol for that
Yeah.
reason for a person who's overweight.
And I love Turanabol. If I do like a lot of hot yoga, I'm sweating like 5, 6 pounds of sweat. 90-minute hot yoga, oh my gosh. You're like sitting in a room, it's 150 degree heat index. You're doing these different poses, your heart rate's in the 140s, 150s zooming up. Very, very tough. So T-ball is perfect because it won't give you the pumps and it's great for endurance as well, similar to equipoise. So or Turanabol, it's a great option if you're overweight. You could just run it solo or you can stack it and you can run anywhere from 20 to 40 milligrams a day. Works fantastic. Finally, I talked about testosterone already. I'll talk about it again. Europharmacies has tons of testosterone options. No matter if you're looking for a short ester, intermediate ester, long ester, it doesn't matter. Even for this guy who did self TRT, you can literally go and buy Europharmacies testosterone, buy their Sipinate or their Enanthate and do yourself TRT on your own and save a fortune from having to go to the doctor and get a prescription and all that good stuff. So your pharmacies have so many options with testosterone and they have blends and they have mixes. So at the end of the day with testosterone, if you're overweight, my recommendation is keep the dose at 300 milligrams or lower. And even closer to a TRT dose would be a smart decision if you're going to cycle. So you could use any of these steroids we talked about and use a little bit of testosterone with them. You don't want to use a lot because you don't want your estrogen to spike even higher. And we know that overweight people will have a tendency to have more estrogenic problems. It's not always the case, but it's a more prone issue. So, Mobster, touch on your pharmacies. We have a couple minutes left. Touch on your pharmacies a bit. before you take us in the disclaimer, tell us.
One of the things that we sometimes like to say about sources that we like Europharmacy, Steve, and I'm thinking specifically of both Europharmacies and one of their top resellers, is we use this phrase called the one-stop shop. So I was just making notes while Steve was talking. I've talked about Europharmacies having 15 mil vials and 10 mil vials. They have what we call bags, the sachets, as well as blister packs. They do SARMs, they do peptides, they do HCG and HGH, Steve. So literally, and even I made a note during the show when we were talking about IIs, I wrote down ancillaries. So what we want when we want a great source is we want to ideally go to one place and get every single thing that we need. We want it all in one place. We want it reasonably priced. We want to know that it's got a great reputation for being a solid product. We want to know that we can go onto the forums and check other users of this particular brand of product, Europharmacies, like myself, for example, and see that that person's been getting results. Talk about customer service. Did they have any issues? Was that resolved? Look at the products themselves. Do they look clean? Do they look medical-like? Have they been tested? Do they do in-house testing? Has independent tests been done? As the individual, you could literally, I mean, I'm doing this show, guys, but you could literally come onto the forums, go onto any of my logs, look at either the Europharmacies and say, Mobster, how did you get on with the Dynabolt? Mobster, how did you get on with the Anivar? Have you used this? Have you used that? What were your results? And you could literally not even have to ask me what my results were, Steve. Just literally go for my log and say, oh, listen, he's just done something stupid on the squat. He does a fantastic bench press. Look at that fucking photograph, the size of his fucking just, and that's not just me, that's any person on the forum that you know is using pharmacist products. We've got that, we know just as something as an address, and I'll touch on this again, Steve. The customer service, I would argue, is probably one of the best in the industry. One or two of the people that represent the company across multiple forums are arguably the best in the industry in that particular way. And then customer service issues I've touched upon in the past, just as one example as we finish this show, was that they put a product out for someone else to produce. Initial quality was fantastic. The quality fell off very quickly. They were doing in-house testing and they pulled that product. And that came as an issue on a Friday, and it was resolved across every single customer that had bought that product with a credit note and product pulled back and never put out again. And that company was never used again by Monday morning. Literally 96 hours, Steve. Every single aspect of that kind of fuck up, if you want to call it that, was resolved from start to finish. So customer satisfaction is incredibly high. Go on to Europharmacies, check their products out, look at the resellers, make sure you're using an approved reseller, and ask people like myself and Steve from me on the forum for comments about what great sources are and why one of our great sources is Europharmacies. Please note, we are not doctors and the opinion is ours. It's our view and based on our experience and views on the topic, a podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech and the First Amendment.